Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Open your heart! Loosen your butts! It's time for couples therapy!
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's couples therapy, couples therapy.
Everyone, and welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Andy.
And my name is Naomi.
We're a real-life couple.
A real-life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy, we answer a couple different questions from a couple different listeners. Naomi, how are you? We're a beacon of light in these dark times. How are you doing?
Honey, I'm older. I'm wiser. You guys, I'm on the other side of my birthday, so maybe I'll get out of the depths of despair. Because I was really saying, this is the end. I'm officially middle-aged.
No, I don't know if
my body is deteriorating.
I don't know if it's your lamictal or if it is being on the other side of this, but I've noticed a renewed zest for life.
Really? Well, it's like literally only been 3 days since my birthday. I don't know if I feel zesty.
Well, okay. Let's just say this. Maybe it's not a zest. Maybe it's not like you've taken the entire lemon peel and zested it. Mm-hmm, but maybe we've gotten a couple little pieces off of the lemon peel. And that was better than before when you were just eating the lemon peel and throwing the lemon out.
Wow. Okay. Well, I don't know if I follow the metaphor, but I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I don't feel it internally, but great, great. You know, look, there's still a pile of laundry that needs to be assessed. The issue, you guys, I have with the laundry is that, like, once it's done and folded, I physically do not have the room to put it anywhere. Like, I don't know where the laundry goes once it is folded because all of my drawers are full. All the drawers are full. The closet is stuffed, okay? No, don't send me links. Don't tell me where to buy boxes, okay? I know what those are. There's already stuff under the bed, okay? Okay? So sometimes it's just easier not to do the laundry.
Or if you are a very wealthy listener, you could gift us with $1 million or more. And we could buy a house instead of our modest two-bedroom.
You know, I'm always hoping for some sort of, you know, kindly older Caucasian to take me under their wing. I'm looking for, you know, a blind side without the abuse and manipulation.
Yeah.
You know, where they don't steal your money like they did to that poor boy, but...
Well, remember,
you know, a Tuesdays with Maury scenario, just someone who I can just get close to. And then they say, you can stay in my home after I pass. I'll put it in writing.
Yeah. What's that thing where you can gift stuff in your will to universities and things like that? Mm-hmm. Can we set that up for podcasts?
Is that bequeath?
Bequeath?
When you bequeath something?
Yes. But there's a specific word for it. Because when I worked at NYU in development.
Oh, yeah. That's all about getting people to bequeath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You got to bequeath, folks. You got to bequeath your favorite podcast host. That's look, what's a university going to do with it? Just
nothing.
Uphold racism.
Nope.
That's all these universities are doing these days. Oh, yeah. We're taking a hard pivot to the right, by the way.
And you guys, we are going to dismantle it. We're going to dismantle racism if you bequeath something to us. Okay. That's the energy there. Andy, I think we need to address, you know, the people have spoken in a lot of areas, and this is your time to address the rumors, address the haters, call out your supporters in a lot of areas.
As you know, Naomi, the haters will become my waiters at the table of success. This is no. We've never really had a huge reaction. We do these ad reads, right?
Yeah.
We've never had a huge reaction to them.
I usually do them.
You usually
also
do
too,
them.
Yeah.
We did one for Trojan last week. You refused. You said, I'm not reading this.
I mean, you guys have neck. I'm neck. I will not. I was like, what? And as, of course, Andy was like, I'll do it.
Yes, as a sex nooch. I had no problem reading. Well, I had a problem reading it. I did have to pace around and be like, "It's just say it. Just say it." But we've never had as big a reaction to an ad read as we did with that. So many people texting me being like, this is great.
Really?
Yes. Friends being like, wow, what an ad read, Andy.
They were really calling you out because they were noticing like, wow, you're doing it. And you guys, when Andy says, you know, he's pacing around, he has to get himself psyched up. That's not about the product, okay? We support a condom and the use of condoms.
Yeah.
It is just that it was funny because I even got a DM that was like, I did not have Andy reading about Trojans on my bingo card. And then at one point you said, do I like saying the word raw?
No, I don't. It's not great. I don't even like saying it with like crudités.
Right.
You know?
Right.
You prefer raw to say celery.
Uncooked. You prefer the uncooked carrot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So I just wanted to say to everyone that supported me in reading this, thank you so much.
And he'll keep them coming.
Also,
he'll keep them coming, guys.
I think this is so funny. So many people also had reactions when we talked about like how many mashed potatoes I ate.
Yeah.
For, and that's the correct way of saying that phrase, how many mashed potatoes, because that's how you quantify mashed potatoes.
Andy, I'm not judging. I understand, okay? You know I don't need it parsed out. I get it.
Naomi, I'm essentially Paul Giamatti from The Holdovers,
okay?
Oh,
my God. Did y'all see The Holdovers yet? We watched it last night, and I said, if that ain't Andy in 20 years.
These vulgarians! So, by the way, this year, just as a side note, we've never gotten good screeners. Every once in a while, they'll send us a movie that's still in the theaters.
Yeah.
But mostly, they just send us stuff that we can see on any of the streaming services that we subscribe to. Mm-hmm. This year, so many movies that are in the theaters so that we don't have to go
to the theaters. Exactly.
Which we're not going to go anyway. We just wouldn't see the films.
But now we get to.
But now we get to.
So we're really digging in. It's just in time for the holidays. We get to watch some screeners, have some movie nights on the weekend, and it's really making me feel like I'm up with the culture.
Yeah. So, okay. Remember when I was talking about mashed potatoes and how much?
Yes, and it was actually me who brought it up because I was truly floored by the amount that your stomach could hold, especially in light of what small meals you have normally.
Yes, and that's not even, you know, in the past, I could pack away so much more. But people responded for some reason.
They felt it. They felt it. You connected.
They left so many comments on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts. Someone left a review that just said, I fully believe in and support Andy's mashed potato consumption, exclamation mark.
5 stars?
Yes, 5 stars.
Beautiful.
5 stars on brand, it says. Which is so funny. So anyway, I want to thank everyone for the support.
Yeah.
Both for my ad read and my mashed potato consumption.
Right.
Makes me feel seen.
You're being lifted up in community. This is why it's important to have a community, to have people around you holding you in their hearts. You know what I mean? Telling you it is okay. We see you. We support you.
Yeah.
That's what we mean when we say we're all in this together.
Yeah. When I first watched The OC and Seth Cohen as a white Jew into indie rock and comic books,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, oh, this is representation. Finally. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Finally, I'm being seen. From that moment on, it's all I craved.
Right.
Because
right.
I knew it was possible.
Right.
I knew
right,
it was possible right, right. for me to be seen in media. Now for me to you be in media.
A better world.
And to be seen.
Oh, my Lord. Wait, we got to tell them. We got to remind them, honey.
Oh, sure. T-shirts, honey. Folks. We have new T-shirts. Softer, new colors.
Yeah, a light blue, a light purple. One is the Couples Therapy logo, but now it's added with Naomi and Andy. Mm-hmm. Okay, we got to associate our names with the brand, honey. Then we also got one that says, gotta miss a bitch. But it's like a new lighter color. It's gorgeous. These T-shirts are soft. And today, Tuesday, December 12th, is the last day to pre-order, okay? Because you want to get that stuff in time for Xmas, okay? Because by the time you hear this, you know, Hanukkah has passed. So you can do a belated Hanukkah gift. Okay. You can even drop a Kwanzaa gift, okay? But
actually, any holiday
is
Arbor Day. It's coming
that's
up.
True. I mean, look, you know I got to shout out to Kwanzaa. Okay, any and all time.
Sure.
Any and all times. But the point is, today's the last day to get that pre-order. If you don't make it today, it'll just come a little bit later. But again, it's still your tea. It's still yours. It's still a beautiful gift for the person in your life, okay? Maybe you give it to someone you're close to. You give them a shirt that says, gotta miss a bitch. And that's your way of saying, I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You never know. The possibilities are endless. Speaking of fun things, holiday times, ways to celebrate, we will be doing a Zoom for all the members of the Patreon on Friday, December 29th, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, honey. Look, the 29th, you will have had family time, holiday time, too much time with some folks. So come to the page, all right? Bring us your questions. Bring us your venting. If you want to come, bring us a primal scream because you done had it with some folks. Bring that to the page. I'll probably be in pajamas, all right? That whole week, it's a pajama jammy jam. So come through. Again, if you are a member of the Patreon, if you want to connect over the holidays, that is Friday, December 29th, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern.
Can I tease us? There might be a special guest.
We might have a special guest.
We might.
We might have a special guest. Just think about that.
Just think about that. And Naomi, where can someone sign up for the Patreon?
Well, honey, they can go to patreon.com/couplestherapypod.
And what else? Besides just like every once in a while we'll do a hangout and some other stuff. You'll do stand-up. What's the actual thing that we promise people?
Honey, we give you 2 bonus eps. 2 bonus eps for the price of a cup of coffee. All right, $5, 2 bonus eps. We get in there, we spill tea. I'm also thinking in the new year, we're going to be adding a little more things to the Patreon, a couple more side things. I don't know, just pitching, you know, Andy's music reviews. Just pitching. Naomi yelling about a bad movie she's seen. Just some times where we can maybe just give you where we're at. All right, have a good time. Little bits and pieces, little bits and pieces, little snacks, little trinkets for the page. But that's, okay, you know, 2024. I'm just saying. And you know who else is just saying?
What?
Our wonderful guest.
Oh my God.
Okay, this was fun. Okay, this guest, this was our first time for both you and I, like, talking to them, getting into it.
Yes, we saw them in Joyride over the summer. And,
yes.
And loved their performance.
Right, and then we were like, we gotta meet. And then also, I'll say for me, this might be the youngest person I've ever spoken to.
Ever, period.
Ever in life. The youngest person I've ever spoken to in my whole life. You've already heard their dulcet tones. We are talking about the one, the only, the iconic Sabrina Wu. Sabrina is an actor, comedian, and writer in New York City who was named a comic to watch this year by Vulture and Variety. Okay, Andy, can you handle it? The Tastemakers. You can see them in the movie Joyride, as we said, where they are very hilarious. And right now, you can watch their set on Netflix's Verified Stand-Up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great roundup of a bunch of comics, but their set is really funny.
Yeah.
So
you can
see,
who else? Robbie Hoffman, Dulce Sloan,
Asif Ali,
Giammarco Cerezi.
There are a lot of great people doing sets. Sabrina is one of them, so make sure to check them out. And without further ado,
roll it.
Now, actually, I want to use this actually to get into my first thing. So, Sabrina, you know, as Andy said, your stand-up was like, you know, you come out loud screaming, which you know I relate to. You know I love a scream.
Yes, and of course, what we need to know is how much did you get paid for the Netflix set? That's the real question.
No.
Did everyone get paid the same? That's the other
part. Yes, it was non-negotiable to my
absolutely.
To my chagrin. Yeah.
But no,
I'm sorry, I was that serious. That's
but my question is sort of
I was serious.
All right, no, sorry. And I love that. No. Because but then you were like, you know, like when I'm talking, I'm actually kind of flat, and sort of like, and the difference there. Like, I kind of am curious. Without, like, we're not trying to go down a stand up rabbit hole, but I'm just more curious as to the decision to be louder and bigger on stage, and not necessarily in life.
Okay,
if that makes sense.
All right, that. I mean, my brain is already breaking.
It's not like, oh no.
It's not like I am never loud. It's anytime I have a passion, I will emote, and arguably too much. But I think sometimes, like, you know, if you're asking me to like promote an ad, or like if I'm doing press and someone's like, and how important is your movie? Then I start to get a little flat because I'm lying, you know, like. Right. I'm sort of like, I hate lying quite a bit. And I think the flatness gets me through it, where I don't feel like I have to pretend to be an earnest person. I like that, you know, does that make sense? It's not like, I just think my stand-up tends to be the things that I am actually pretty upset about or have strong feelings toward. And so I'm like channeling that. But also, you know, I think Vulture released this, has that list that they released, and the article did call me hyperactive and known to use, it said known to use every decibel known to man. And I, I had such a breakdown over it that I was like, fine, I'll be deadpan if that's what they want. And so, you know, I really, it's just, does that make sense? I guess what I'm saying is everything is a performance. Like, I don't really know when I'm on or off.
Well, Judith Butler here. We're talking with everything's a performance. I see. Here's a real question.
No, I'm a gender essentialist.
The real question is, after your representatives and your lawyer got their cut and taxes, how much was left?
I don't like when he sticks to a bit and I say, we're done with it. I said, no. Well, okay.
But wait, no, I actually want to go back to the lying thing, because that's where my ears perked up. You said you don't like lying. Is it a ethical thing? Is it, I don't want to keep track of this lie so that it doesn't blow up in the future kind of thing?
It's actually like, it might be an ethical thing, but my most honest answer is like, it genuinely feels like bad in my body. Like, I find it to be taxing to have to do it. So, you know, and then press can be just so, it's so long that if I had to sustain that level of like, oh my God, it is so nice to meet you. Yes, Miami is hot. Like, if I had to do that all day, I would die. So it is like a self-preservation thing. Like, it's too tolling. But I do care a lot about, on some level, I care a lot about being relatively good. So I'm sure that's why it actually physically hurts me. And Naomi, you're also someone who I think of as like, you have a wide range. Like, you're not always yelling. You're definitely like, you're not really like, I feel like, you know what I'm, do you know what I'm saying?
No, you of also course. Have you said, this space. You said I have the range, and that's gorgeous, and I'll take it. But it's more, but no, I think that like, I guess for me, or at least I feel that there is not much of a difference between stage me and life me, you know? And I certainly know a lot of performers who are people who very much turn it on, right? Like, it's like, I am on stage now and I'm going to do something different. And so I was curious if that was something for you, like it was a conscious thing for you, but that's why I was asking that question, because I always feel like I'm like, I think I'm kind of the same difference, and then I just put the microphone and just monologue.
Okay, I have my real answer now. Now that we've processed it, I figured it out. It's that I'm my real self on stage with a microphone, and then only with people I'm extremely comfortable with, and then everything in between, I am terrified and like extremely flat, and I give very little.
Okay, so is that you preserving energy? Because I know that when I'm flat, I've been really thinking about this since.
Stop pointing. Andy's really got his index finger going.
I like it. You're like a little conductor.
And the world is my orchestra. So I've been thinking about a lot in the last 10 years. Therapy. So start of therapy to now, okay, has been about how I come off to the world. Uh-huh. All right. Well, how's the world see me? And I realize that I think a lot of the time when I'm like, I have a flat affect, it is I'm preserving energy or I don't have the energy to give. So now, for right now, look, I've had a Diet Coke. All right. I got a little caffeine in my system, and I'm giving it my all. All right. You're hearing first of all, you're hearing Mabel do her little, I just drank water and now it went in my nose and now I'm going ha 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 in the background. But you're also hearing me emote fully. You're hearing the full
right
range.
The presence. You're here. The presence. You're here now.
Yes. The density of my being.
When this podcast ends, is it the case where like the second you hit stop recording, you become eerily silent?
Yes.
When we turn off the Zoom, it leaves my, like a spirit. Yeah. Like I've been exercised.
I'm done. And it's just like funny because, you know, Andy and I, obviously, like, we work together, we do stuff, but there'll just be times where I'm like, I ain't got it for you. right now. Meaning, like, the energy to be, you know what I mean? Like, to be, honestly, a decent human being. But yeah. I'll be like, I can't do it.
So that was my preface to the question for you, which is that what's going on for you?
Yeah, it is. It's definitely energy preservation.
But are you, when you say the people I'm really comfortable with and people in between,
are we those people? Now?
Well, not yet, Andy. We gotta earn it. I can tell. Sabrina's the type of person that says you gotta earn it. So we just have to take that time.
Oh, what? I'm giving everything I can right now.
No. Not that you're not giving. You're giving. But like what I was, you know, when you were saying about how with people you're really comfortable with or kind of on stage, but I'm wondering kind of what it takes for you to get comfy with somebody. Is it like, okay, we're gonna get together and like have a conversation where we kind of break the dam? Or is it like, I've known this person for 10 years and now, and that's why we're comfortable?
No, it has nothing to do with time. It is strictly just vibes. It's almost instant. I pretty, like, you know, like, just some people you're like, oh yeah, I trust them.
Yeah.
And then, and it actually directly correlates with, it is just like, oh, or do they have any artifice or do they have tact? Like, if so, then I can't trust them. Right. But, you know, but, oh, wow. They've said three things that would really bite them in the ass if they were being recorded. I love this person. Like,
yeah, I get that. Yeah. I like when people, like, and Andy and I, we agree on this, where I'm like, when someone's, like, too cool, like, kind of reserved, I automatically assume they hate me.
Mm-hmm.
And
I project my insecurities on them.
Yeah, and they could just be a person who is quiet, right? Like, just a person who's like, yeah, I'm here, I'm taking it in. I don't have to, like, show you what I'm feeling. Whereas I'm like, hello, my baby, hello, my darling, hello, my good time, girl.
Yeah, we're emotionally vaudevillian.
Okay, I don't know how I would feel if I met you two in person right away. The vaudevillian is like, I might... All right. That's too much tact. It might not even be tact. It's just too much.
Yes. Well, I'm not coming at you performance style. I don't believe in, like, taking, or I work very hard. I don't want to suck the energy out of a space. But it's more, I don't know. It's just like a feeling I get. Like, when somebody is, like, withdrawn, I'm like, oh, I want to crack that nut. I want to crack it. You know, and it's like, why can't I just leave that person alone?
Do you know what I mean? No, I actually am an egg that people have tried to crack. And I changed my answer because I'm like, and I've listened to your podcast. Like, you're right. You guys are good listeners. Like, you know, you're not like talking just to like talk at someone or perform at them and suck the energy. You're trying to crack open that person, get them to open up. Like, you are, you know,
yeah.
You're not annoying.
Thank you.
That's the highest compliment.
Honestly, as someone who grew up very annoying, to hear as an adult to hear someone say you're not annoying really does give me it soothes my soul.
Well, good, I mean it.
Okay, now let's just talk about, do you have a relationship with therapy? Are you any of that kind of like internal work?
Yes, I have been in therapy since I was like 16, 17.
Okay.
And I've actually been, there was a small break, but otherwise I've been with the same therapist since I was like in high school, so really long-term therapist.
Wow. So, that's a good one, because I feel like, because you change so much, right, from like high school to now, where you're like, I need something else. But like, y'all are really going through it.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes I'm like, am I too attached to her? Like, but I really, and she is a white woman. Like, I love this white woman like so much. Do you ever like, I have found it really helpful that I've known her for a long time. Sometimes I'm like, you know, it's like you change so much that it's nice to have someone that's like, that has actually bared witness to all of it. And I don't have to like, I don't know. One nice thing is I'll be like, hey, you know, my parents weren't that nice to me growing up. Right. And she would have been there to be like, yeah, no, they were not.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Well, yes. Okay. So wait, what prompted at 16? What prompted you to go into therapy in the first place?
I unfortunately was like, just really, like some combination of like anxious, depressed. And then I had PTSD when I was 16, and that just made everything worse. And then I was, I, I was, I don't know. It was very dramatic. Like the school had, the English teacher and the guidance counselor called my parents to be like, your child needs therapy, like ASAP, because they're unwell to the point of we're a little bit afraid of their safety. And then my parents, who just like were not equipped to handle like those kinds of talks, drove to the school. And I was informed after the fact. And so I found out as school was ending that my parents were called. And so I like walked out into the parking lot and my parents were there and they yelled at me from a distance, like, hey. And I was like, oh, mom, dad, like, why are you here? Just wondering how you are. And then I said I was fine. And they were like, okay. And I was like, I'm going to go to the mall. And they were like, that's fine. Like, we just kind of screamed. And then eventually, you know, we got the therapist. But it was just, yeah.
No. We got to stop. Yeah. Eventually, we got the therapist.
Yeah. Sorry. Dig in. Sorry. I'm like,
I got to dig in.
Yeah.
I'm extremely uncomfortable, but that isn't, never take that as a sign that I'm not willing to share everything, you know, just whatever.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. They just left. Hold on. This day after school, they're like, all right, see you later. And then they just went back to work or went home or whatever.
You know, I think actually years later, they told me that they sort of tailed me to the like suburban mall and then like saw that I actually did go in. And then we're like, okay, so Sabrina's actually at the mall.
Yeah. They're like, oh, they're going to Coconuts. Okay. We can go home. Coconuts still exist.
No, Coconuts. I feel like you might not
do you even know what Coconuts is? I just realized that you are so much younger than us that CDs might not have existed when you were in high school.
Okay. I sort of fake laugh, but I also sort of laughed at the imagined Coconuts. I sort of just pictured like some kind of Hawaiian themed, like, you know, department store.
It was a CD store, which is even worse. Yes. It was like, why are you called Coconuts?
Coconuts.
And you sell CDs.
If I would have said Sam Goody, would that have worked?
That does really actually a lot less for me. I don't know if I would have even laughed. Coconuts, it's like, oh, funny word.
What was it? In terms of like, we finally got the therapist, did your parents come to you and go, we found a person, go? Or was it a conversation where you sat down with them and were like, this is where I'm at? Because, and I say this as somebody who, you know, and I've said this on previous episodes, you know, when I was younger and I was like, I need therapy, my mom took it personally and took it as like,
yes, you even said, you literally said it in, well, when we were talking to Alexis.
Right. So that's
commiserating over.
Yeah. So I'm just asking kind of like, what was their reaction and kind of what was it to physically, like, you know, to find the person and get there?
Have you met any people of color that have been like, my mom took it so well? Like, has that happened? I'm like genuinely curious.
I know. Well, some of them.
I'm racking my brain. I don't think so.
Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck is this leading question? No, she didn't feel that way. She took it extremely personal. I mean, I'm honestly, I guess I jumped ahead even in the story because I'm like, I'm not even ashamed, but I am just like, sorry, if this is too much. My parents knew that I needed a therapist like 5 years prior because just every time I went to a summer camp, like, look, I was, there's no delicate way to say it. You know, I had major self-harm vibes. Everybody knew. And what's awesome is that I turned out so delightful, you know, because sometimes the loud cutters in school, you know, they really cause a lot of trouble for the other kids. I still remember some of the other cutters and I'm like, I don't really know what they're up to, but it can't be good stuff. Like, oh, I hope they're not calling their friends at 6 a.m. every night, you know, still.
But
I was that kid that like really was like really struggling. And like anyone who became my friend was like, we talked to the school counselor and we do need to set some boundaries with you, because I was just so sad all the time. And so my parents found out that I was cutting when I was like 12 and then just didn't do anything. Like,
okay.
And like, you know, would be like, are you? And I'd be like, no, maybe I am. And then like, they'd be like, but why are you doing that? And then I'd be like, so very stilted, not productive conversations. And then by the time, I guess, that the school was like, you know, when two teachers called, I think it was like my mom sort of, even if she took it personally, it was like, I think it's time to get over myself a little, because our child, you know, two calls from the school is in one day is a little scary.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And even then, I'm pretty sure I did have to find the therapist. Like, okay. Because they kind of then started procrastinating again. And then I was like, you know, I asked my counselor who I was close with if she had a rec for a therapist. And then that's someone I called and have been with since.
Oh, wow. So you don't even have to go and test out a bunch of places, a bunch of people. You know what I mean? Because I always say, like, that's the annoying part about therapy is, like, it may take a beat to find somebody. And then because most of us go into therapy because we got something going on, right? Like, kind of like that feeling of, like, time is of the essence. I would like this to happen. And can you be right? And then I always feel like I'll do, like, three sessions, and I'm like, I don't know if I like them.
Well, this is the thing. I'm going to say this. Sabrina, it's lucky that it worked out for
you. I realized I blocked out, actually, the first one because she was so mean to me.
Oh, no.
Jesus.
And I'm like, oh, right. There was one bad one who told me that she asked if I was comfortable having my mom in the session. And, like, my mom and I, you know, like, no. Like, right. You know, there was, like, there were some major problems between us. And I was like, I felt so ashamed of not wanting my mom in the session that I like apologized relentlessly for it. And the therapist said something like, oh, I see. Or she was like, oh, you don't need to be sorry. You're just like a typical teenager. And like typical teenagers are like something to the effect of like, you know, like self-involved. Like, you know, it was so, I was like, what the hell is going on? Also, she wouldn't laugh at my jokes, and she would just go, trying to cope with humor, and then write in her little checkbook. Like, why was she writing about me in front of me?
Oh, my God.
Okay, sorry. So that's
no,
that's
we don't
mine.
Like that.
No, you yeah. should have you should no, thrown a copy terrible. Of Freud's Jokes in the Unconscious or whatever it is and said, no, look, the founder of your goddamn discipline says jokes are okay.
But I like that at 16. I like at 16 you were out here doing bits and being like, why aren't you responding? Like, I'm out here trying to give you a little zinger.
I agree. I don't know why you would tear down a people pleaser like right away. Like, give them a second. Like,
but I'm gonna say, so what I was saying before was that white women have not worked out historically for you, Naomi.
Well, I had a good one early, and then I was like, because it's actually just been in recent years where I was like, I think I have to pivot, because I was having a lot of rage that I think it's not that I didn't have the rage before, as much as I've gotten more comfortable talking about it. Mm-hmm. A lot of rage, you know, towards what it is to be Black in America. And I was like, I think I need to talk to somebody who actually knows it, as opposed to someone I have to explain it to, you know? And that's why I was like, I gotta like make a little pivot. But it's also like, still, it's like, that's not the only thing. You want somebody who can understand a lot of the other stuff too. I think the reason why I was resistant early on is because like older Black women reminded me of my mother. You know what I mean? Like when I was like 18 in therapy, I was like, I don't want my mom here.
Yes. Anytime I meet an older Asian person that is nice, I'm like, how is this happening? And it's like taking me a long time to be like, you know, like, yeah, some of them are chill. And a lot of the, you know, I'll be like, wow, your English is so good. And it's, sorry, I have the thought. I've never said it out loud. And I'm like, yeah, they were born here. They're you. They're like literally you, but older. Like, you need to relax.
Relax. Do you have siblings?
I have a brother.
Older, yeah. Younger?
Younger. Do you all have siblings? Sorry if you've talked about it in your previous podcast.
I have a sister. She is a younger sister. She is 3.5 years younger. She has a child.
She is a professional, adult, like living a life, owning a house, you know?
Yeah, she's a real adult. My parents fucking gave up on me. They gave the minute my nephew was born, they're like, we're done with Andy. Yeah. We know who to concentrate on. We know which direction to send most of our love in. We'll send a little bit in the other direction. 10%.
Yeah.
But 90%.
10%. You get 10% of the love?
I get 10%. If I don't call for a while, I don't get a call. Like, it's mostly incumbent upon me at this point. But that wasn't the question.
That was not the question. You just blew out Sabrina's ears with your laugh. But
I'm sorry. Wait. Nope. Oh, you have a question? Because I have a question.
Well, maybe. I don't know if it's good. I don't know what the order is. But okay. Saying the stuff about parents and stuff, I did notice via Instagram you had gone back home for Thanksgiving.
Oh, wow. Yes, I did.
I saw a dog. Yes. I saw a dog. Okay. So I saw a dog. Yes, I stopped. And that gets me to the caption. You know what I mean? I see a dog and I stop. I go, what's going on? Whose dog is this? What's happening?
Oh, did you like the dog? It's pretty
gorgeous.
Cute. Like,
it's gorgeous.
Just, yeah, sleepy husky. Thank you.
But I was like, You know, we're all grown. We don't have to be at home if we don't want to anymore. But you were back there. Do you go visit a lot? Do you feel like your relationship with your parents is in a good place, like, in terms of how you feel with them?
Yeah, I think it's in a stable place. It's like I don't go as often as obviously, or sorry, it's not obvious, but you know, they definitely want me home more often than I go home, but mm-hmm. I definitely do try to go home on the holidays, like just like, and you know, for 2 to 3 days max. And okay. I brought my partner, so it made it fun, because then all the stuff that's hurtful is like kind of hilarious. And
Well, just having someone to bear witness, yes. Right? Like when someone there and you're like,
someone you can just give a look to and be like, do you fucking hear that?
Exactly. It's like, what did I tell you?
I know. Well, do you ever bring partners and then you're just sort of like, and now you see why I am the way I am? I think it really helps you just have sympathy for everyone instantly. You're like, oh, I totally get every problem you have, where it came from.
That's why I had you meet my parents so early, Naomi.
Oh, is that why I met them? 4 months in, Sabrina. 4 months in.
Was it a very formal meeting? Like, did you all go to dinner? And like,
it was a business meeting. So we all had briefcases.
No, it was worse than that. We went to his parents' home, like, for the holiday weekend, like for 4th of July weekend. So it's not like a dinner and then dip out. It's like, I am there. We are in these people's home.
Why are you acting like you had no agency? Why did you go?
Yeah! I'm not saying I didn't have agency. Obviously, I was like, because I think it was this feeling. Of course, I knew I didn't have to go. But I was like, oh, my God, this person likes me enough that, like, he's ready for this? And I was like, I'll try this, right? Like, I had never really been in a relationship that felt that for real so early on. And I was like, okay, I'll meet some parents. You know, like, it's always, you know, I was very worried. I kept saying it's going to be a guess who's coming to Seder situation. I said, do they know I'm black? Are they prepared? Right? Like, I was like.
I gave them a dossier in the briefcase. Sabrina, way to hold Naomi's feet to the fire on that.
No, I want to withdraw. I feel like I attacked Naomi. And
No. You did not.
No.
Absolutely not.
No, you just held her responsible for her own choices, for her agency in the world, as a sovereign subject in the world.
Sovereign subject. That's me.
Well, you two seem great now.
13 years later.
13.
And it was serious. Like, you were like, I'm inviting Naomi because this that serious. It's 4 months and I do feel this way.
Oh, yeah. No, I've never invited my hundreds and hundreds of hookups to meet my parents.
Hundreds and hundreds. That's the funniest bit so far.
What about me does not exude, you know, player?
Lothario, if you will. That's a word I like that no one uses anymore.
Wait, here's the question I was going to ask before. At what point did your relationship with your parents stabilize?
Okay, it's like a very recent... All right, let's see. Basically, and it's all going to sound really dramatic, and I'm sorry. So just let me know if I need to explain anything further. But my grandma was recently hit by a truck.
Jeez,
like this year. And so before that, there was some tension with my family because I told them that I was trans and, like, you know, they did not take it well. And so I was pretty resistant to going home because, you know, it was just uncomfortable. And but then, you know, when your grandma that you love gets hit by something, then it's all hands on deck. And so I feel like since we and she's totally fine now.
What, but she is?
I know! She was 80 years old, hit by a large vehicle, and that woman was so She wanted to leave the hospital so bad. They're like, okay, well, we need to see if you can walk and stuff. And she was being such a ham. They'd be like, oh, you want to see me lay down? She would, like, fucking, like, flip herself into the bed and then spread her arms like, ta-da!
Wow!
She, like, yeah, she really is a tough nut. And, you know, was very resistant to taking painkillers. I mean, it was not always the best decision because she was, like, so in pain that she had, like, you know, it was like, you know, you're making yourself delirious. But
how long did it take? I'm just very curious because, like, now you just said someone survived being hit by a truck. How long did it take for her to recover or, you know, kind of get back to normal-ish?
So she was in that, like, ICU, like, she was in inpatient care for maybe a month, like, or three and a half, like, at least in the ICU for 2 weeks, and then was sort of in general inpatient care for, like, another, like, week or so. And then we had to transfer her to, like, an outpatient care facility, which was terrible. And so that's sort of what's, it was like, it was, she just would have been better off, like, at home.
Well, sure, and, sure. Healthcare in America. Absolutely.
They had her, like, bike, like, do biking exercises because it's just, like, a very cookie cutter, like, with a fractured foot. And to this day, her foot is still, like, not totally healed from that.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
I know. It's just, it is what it is. But, yeah. You know, since then, I feel like my family and I just, like, have gotten into the habit of, like, being around each other without bringing up any of it.
Uh-huh. So, oh, I understand that. A detente? Oh, my family loves a detente. Yes. No. Can we keep everything placid and pleasant? Yes. Okay. That, you know what? I'll take it. I'll take that.
Do you do board games? I feel like that's, like, I'm like, I've introduced board games and poker to our family, and it's saved every, like, we can talk about that and just play games until it's nighttime.
That's smart. That's smart.
We used to do board games all the time. Facts and Five. Trivial Pursuit.
Oh, Trivial Pursuit.
Pictionary. Oh, yeah. These were staples.
Wow, your eyes rolled back for Trivial Pursuit. Folks, Naomi's toes curled and her eyes rolled back.
Well, because I used to love that game. It was, you know, I was an only child. You know, all these games require 3 to 5 players. Okay. So I didn't have a lot of options. But it was like Trivial Pursuit, my mom would play with me, and Scrabble. Those are like the two games that we would do together. And especially growing up, because it was just me and her. Like, looking back, I'm like, yeah, man. Being a single parent period is like, you know, my God, prayers up, the most impossible job. But also when it's like an only child, it's like, you got to spend all your time with a kid. You got to just spend all your time with this child. You have to not obviously just caring for them, but also entertaining them. Because you can't just go, okay, you guys go play together somewhere.
And this is why I have no real data other than my own personal experience, but I think that's why so many haters, like online, like trolls, are like mothers and parents. Have you noticed that?
No.
Okay. All right. That's been my experience. Every morning I wake up with like a new comment on my Instagram that's like, you are a disgrace. You are in it. And then I'll go on her page and she's like the mother of three. And I'm like, oh my God.
What?
Yeah. Oh my God. I could see that in a way, in terms of like when you're isolated, when you're siloed, just being much more online, period. Right. And then just being like, I have anger, but I can't take it out on the people closest to me. So I'll take it out on a stranger. It's a sick world we live in. It's bad. Can I ask you how long you've been with your partner?
Yes, I've been with my partner for 3.5 years.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
Okay.
Yes.
That's a long love affair.
Is that your longest relationship to date?
It is. It is.
All right.
It's, you know, we'll see. Hopefully it lasts, you know, till one of us dies.
Oh, wow.
And might I add, I hope we both live a long time.
Yeah, it was good to have, well, hold on, it was good to have that addendum on there.
Yeah. Right, just, yeah.
Yeah, because what if you were just like, you were just like, God, I hope one of us just kicks it soon.
I'm like, yeah, you know, one of us is terminally ill, so I'm just trying to kind of get over that hump. And then
get over that hump.
You're like, I really hate breaking up with people, so.
I do, I actually fully do.
Well, I was going to ask you, before your partner, like, did you date a lot? Did you like pine from afar? What was the vibe?
Yeah, I did. I dated But none of them were like so serious, but I definitely like was more of like I have this problem where like anytime I hook up with someone, I'm like, man, I'll love you forever. Like, you could call me anytime you want. Like, I don't really like hook up with people and not catch feelings. And, mm-hmm. and so I have mostly like, I dated like 3 or 4 other people before them. And every single time the relationship is pretty bad and was bad for a while. And I wouldn't, and like, I could not, I mean, you know, like I have a joke sort of about this one person I was with who like didn't want to be gay and like would call me her squirrel friend. Instead of her girlfriend, just to like avoid saying girlfriend. I was with her for like a year. You know, like I let her dump me. Like, it's just like, oh God, you know?
Oh, so that was real. Okay. Sorry. that's in again. We don't know how much you got paid for it, but that was in your Netflix set. And the squirrel friend is a real, that was a real person.
Yes. Yeah. Again, I hate lying. So if I'm emoting, I'm telling my truth. Except for the Amanda Gorman thing. I don't really hate Amanda in any way, shape, or form.
Okay.
Sorry. Some people, I have a bit about just like how Amanda Gorman beat me at a story slam. And every now and then, like people will really earnestly like wish for her downfall in front of me, and I'm like, it's your misunderstanding.
Yes, right. That's not what this is about.
No, oh, if anything, we have a symbiotic relationship. I actually need her to keep succeeding, otherwise I lose the joke, you know. Every time she flops on Twitter, I'm like, what are you doing, Amanda? Get it together.
Wait, though, I need to talk, when you say not liking to break up, is it simply because you don't like conflict?
Okay. For a while, it was just that, like, I just couldn't, I am not someone who, like, ever trusted if I'm, like, I am unhappy, my first instinct isn't, like, and it's, my first instinct isn't, it's not my fault, and yeah. There's something I don't, and I don't need to change. It's something else, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think it just, if I was very unhappy, I just would always assume that I need to like, you know, like to just like, it, I don't know, that I need to like fix what I was feeling. And then even if I did break up with them, if they ever were just like, I'm really sorry. Like, I love to nurture. So I'd be like, no problem. Let's get back together. And that's sort of my, yeah.
What's different about your current relationship?
Okay, so I traditionally am like, I have major simp vibes where I like will like have a huge crush from afar, and then I'll be like, they're the perfect person, and like I will sort of like, you know, like I usually like am like, I have crushes on people that are cold, mm-hmm. or like, you know, like are not, you know, you have to crack them open a little bit, and you're, you know, and then I, you know, I'm just silly clown idiot, and they're like cool, smart, interesting, manic pixie dream girl vibes. And then my current partner is like the first person that I feel like really like simped hard for me. And I initially didn't even like understand that it was like a romantic thing. Like, I just was like, oh, I'm very intrigued by this person, but I wasn't even like clocking it as like flirting. Mm. But then, you know, but then once I did, you know, they're just so like tender, and you know, I just think that's why they're just like so sweet and like a good person. And that does make, and there, I don't know. So does that, you know, also we all chase after our parents, and I loved being with, you know, my parents were a little bit, if you can tell from the story, like a little stunted emotionally. And so like the people that I ended up dating were often people where I'd be like, having to explain why being called a squirrel friend might not make someone feel very good. Right. And like, that is the role I was really comfortable in. It's like, oh, when you act like you don't know who I am, it makes me feel small. And they're like, wow, I've never thought about it that way. And I love that kind of stuff. And my partner of 3.5 years is not like that at all. And yeah. Is, yeah.
Well, I also think, because I understand that feeling, because I guess, okay, you keep me young. I'm saying simp vibes now.
So would you be offended if, I don't know if we'll call the episode this, but would you be offended if we call the episode Major Simp Vibes?
No, I would love that. God, I keep thinking about getting simp tattooed on my bicep.
Well, because I think I was that way, like always crushing on people. And as you said, sort of having an image of a person and kind of getting attached before they've actually proven themselves in some way.
Yes.
And like this, Andy and I were friends for a while first, and you were interested in me kind of before I knew what I was feeling. And in a way it was helpful, because what I think, it, at least for me, what it gave me was like, I was able to be myself and be comfortable, right? So from the get-go, the vibe was comfort, not me going, how do I make you love me? And that's kind of what it sounds like too with your person, right? Like this idea of like, you didn't know it was like that, but you knew you liked them as a person. And then it kind of had the natural evolution.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, comfort is not something I associate with, like, being horny or having a crush. So it really took somebody else making me feel comfortable and explaining to me that that's a sex thing. I was like, okay, then I'm on board. Okay, you know, because until then I was like, you know, sex is bad. Like, sex feels insane. It's supposed to be life-ruining.
Okay.
Did you grow up in my generation?
I always say that. First off, I'm not even full. Like, I am a cusper, but yeah. Oh, if that means it, I just wanted to be clear. Like, I'm just queer, and I'm not really Gen Z or Gen Alpha. You know, like I really am an older. I'm older than, you know, like the real Gen Z people. And yeah, people tell me that I have the personality of like an old man.
Oh, that's so funny. I mean, I think you will, you know, when you're like 50 or 60, I expect old man fashions. You know what I mean? Like a button-down sweater, perhaps tucked into a high pant.
Oh, thanks. I know. Oh, wait. Like high, like really high-waisted?
No, not high. Like not like
not
your
not
nip.
Elderly. Not no, like no. Not like a 85-year-old walking no. around the mall.
But you know what I mean? Like an above-the-hip pant.
Sure. Sorry, there was only one old man from my high school who had high waist, and you know, I never want to hear him talk about indigenous peoples again. So I just am like, I don't know if that's my.
What? Hold on. What subject was this person teaching? What
if they were teaching geometry? He taught AP US history, and right, you know, okay. Uh-huh. But he's not. Sorry, Mr. Zellers.
Did you like Ann Arbor? Did you like your Ann Arbor times as a place? I mean, you were going through it emotionally, as you said, but as like a place to grow up, or maybe kind of where you were at emotionally
were
is
you always
too linked.
Dreaming of Detroit?
I was always dreaming of California. Like I, for some reason, I think because of like Asian YouTubers, I was like, that is like it was like the promised land to me. I was like that, you know, like. And I would wear like backwards hats and like longboard all the time, even though like that wasn't a thing in Michigan.
Yeah.
It's hard to separate like what I was feeling. Mm-hmm. But when I go back now to Ann Arbor, I mean, I'm just so used to like seeing lots of trees and like just like a quieter town. Like that part I do like. And it's really not the most like conservative or fucked up, you know, place mm-hmm. in Michigan. So, right. But I think it does. It's not a place where, like, if you're a queer Asian person, like, I just, you know, I don't know. I feel like I just didn't know how to make sense of who I was because of Michigan. So that's you know, where you're just like who am I? Like you just like. I just felt very lonely and confused. And every day someone would always ask me like, I have no idea who your friends are. Like, who are your friends? And you know, just the feeling of like, I don't, and then you go to New York and there's just more people like, you know, you just have a better sense of, so I think that is what really did the most damage was just not really seeing people who, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah,
could place you. And also everyone's obsession with boats. I didn't totally get like sure. I don't miss that. Yeah,
sure. Was it New York? Was the move to New York that you think everything kind of clicked for you?
It was. I mean, I don't even know if to this day I really feel like I have like a strong sense of belonging. But even just doing like stand up in New York, like in Brooklyn, like look, I don't feel like I totally fit in, but. it's so much better than when I was, you know, like trying to connect with, I don't know, like doing open mics in Michigan or like doing clubs in Michigan. So, sorry if this is so boring.
No, I mean, as a person, do you think things clicked once you moved to New York? Or was it just like all the work you were doing in therapy? That's the stuff that really.
Oh, no. Honestly, I was just thinking about how, like, if I did not date my, like, lately therapy's just been like, Karen, what the fuck? You didn't notice that I had ADHD and, like, might be have, like, some autistic traits? Like, what the fuck? Like, it's, like, all of therapy right now is sort of, like, having people around me who really see me for who I am. And, like, you know, it's informing my therapy. Like, yeah, so I feel like I'm still figuring out who I am. But, you know, classic. That is a classic. I'm trying to coin Asian ADHD. Like that experience where everyone's just like, I guess I've just met enough Asian people who are like, yo, I just found out I had ADHD. And then they'll be like, well, before that, I was told that I had, and then like in unison, we'd be like, complex PTSD. It was always like, cause we'd always tell our therapist like, hey, I'm having a hard time like with school or like, it's just really hard emotionally or like, I feel like I'm reading slower. It's like, I can't concentrate. And they'll be like, can you actually not, like, are you actually not good at this, or did your parents make you think you were bad at this? And like, there's just such a rigid idea of what an Asian parent is like. I think so many high, like success, like, you know, on paper, successful Asians just get funneled into like complex PTSD because it just fits the idea of like, you know, an emotionally abusive parent. And instead of being like, well, maybe they just literally have ADHD. And, right. You know, Asian people can be creative too. Like, they can also.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. I could see that, like, because there are these stereotypes of Asian parents being rigid, and so then it's like, well, if you've come into therapy, then my God, you've really got it bad, you know? It's that idea,
and that happens all the time, where it's like, well, like, is it possible since your grades are good and your parents are mean that maybe you're not actually bad, you just think you're bad, and you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Wow. There's so many new diagnoses for everyone. When I was a kid, there was no diagnosis. No one got a diagnosis when I was a kid. You were just, you didn't go
and
to therapy at all.
You can go on TikTok and anyone will diagnose you with anything you want.
You can have whatever you want.
There was no TikTok. You were told to play with the big wheels out in the dirt patch.
The dirt patch. Oh my God. But no, but that is, but I guess that's kind of why I was asking you. I mean, we're joking about that, but that's kind of why I was asking that question of how did your parents feel or whatever, because you are a bit younger and, you know, we are joking about the TikTokification of mental health and self-care. But like, I think, as you said, you in high school is probably more of a, those words like kind of floated around, right? Even if you didn't know necessarily what to do. But this idea, TikTok wasn't around, but like, self-care and looking within.
But that's
and
what I'm
we
saying.
Need to talk. Is that right or wrong?
I mean,
am I wrong?
I was joking
I'm
about
just thinking. I'm like, no. Yeah. There was a lot of like, okay, definitely by freshman year of college, holding space had already gone too far. It was, it was hurting me to hear. But yes, there was an idea of boundaries by the time I was in high school.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
That's so when I was joking, but also it was just when I was a child, your inner life was just an undifferentiated mass of things. Your bodily feelings was an undifferentiated. I was like pre modern philosophy. Kant starts kind of like articulating things, but you know, it was just this kind of it was just stuff happening in your body and you had no words for it.
Yes. But also the idea of boundaries. I think so much of like being a kid, it was like you do what you're told, right? And it wasn't like you get to question and every adult is an authority and it is and like that person's absolute. And that to me does really play into stuff like not being able to trust yourself and not knowing when you're like, I feel bad. And is it because of someone else's behavior or is it because there's something quote unquote wrong with me? You know, whereas to me, like, shit, if I knew the word boundaries at 14, the game would have changed.
I know.
Okay. Do you want to do a question?
We have a couple. Wait. Yes. Let's try to get to as many of these because some of these are holiday questions, and I have had a terrible track run of answering questions way too late. There was one for our Patreon that was literally 2 years late that I found in the inbox. And it wasn't a big deal. And the person was like, obviously it's 2 years later, but if you want to have fun with it, answer it. So we did. But I'm trying to be better.
You are a work in progress, and that's beautiful. So let's take a quick break, and we will be right back.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And we're back with Sabrina Wu here to help you handle your scandal, honey. Sabrina's been in therapy for 47 years, okay? So they have the answers. They have the knowledge.
It's true. I don't want to do a voice, and it was so bad. I'm so sorry. All right, let's just go.
We get questions from all over. We get questions from Twitter, from Instagram, from Gmail, from voicemail. Naomi, what is the phone number? Voicemail is, of course, our favorite.
323-524-7839. There is a 3-minute limit.
Here's the thing, because people have been blowing past the 3-minute limit. By that, I mean it cuts them off and they don't get their question in. Set a timer. And at the very top, Naomi has suggested this. At the very top,
yeah.
Give us a too long didn't read. Give us a thesis.
I always say, I go top of it, you go pronouns, log line. Yes. Okay, tell me those things up top. That way, if you get cut off later, I have the basics.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You got to give me the top piece.
Yeah. Okay, so like I said before the break, we've gotten some holiday ones. And this one is so, we like to start off with something a little lightweight. This one's pretty lightweight. So I think we can do this very quickly. Here we go.
Hi, Andy and Naomi and guests. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Really, I'm so excited to have anything to call you all about, but it's kind of frivolous, so I don't know. I'm looking for the perfect white elephant gift for my family. Apparently, among my family, we don't give each other used gifts anymore or, like, re-gift things. We actually go out and buy things specifically for the white elephant exchange, which I think makes it not a white elephant. But anyway, it's very competitive in my family, and I want to give a good gift. I'm thinking something humorous or maybe something edible, but I am completely blanking on ideas. So things that have been exchanged in the past are books about the Pope, books about corruption in the Catholic Church. Those weren't hits, by the way. Okay. So that's not the direction I'm looking to go in. Food has been perennially popular. And this is my first time being invited, so I want to do a good job. If you guys have any suggestions, that would be so helpful. Thank you so much, and you guys are so great.
Okay, so.
But wait, I'm already confused.
Yes.
Because they said at the end, this is my first time being invited? But is it their own family's white elephant?
I think maybe to a partner's family?
Well, is White Elephant where you get gifts for everybody, or no. You like put a gift in the pile and then people pick?
Yes.
Okay. I despise it.
Yes. No, I don't like that either. And then usually you get a gag gift for it, right? You get like a whoopee cushion or a hand buzzer, joy buzzer.
Or in this family's case, a crucifix.
Yes.
Or like...
What about an edible crucifix? So yeah, you could stay on theme.
Chocolate, a giant chocolate,
and instead of Jesus, it's a rabbit. It's the Easter rabbit crucified.
The Easter bunny?
Yeah, the Easter bunny. What? You can't call it the Easter rabbit. It has to be the Easter bunny.
I just thought it was funny because there are just times where I was like, "You grew up Jewish." And you'll be like, "It's an Easter rabbit on a cross," and I'm like. I'm like, you're getting confused. Okay, Sabrina, are you good at gift giving? Can you, like, you know what I mean? Like, do you just, like, know? Do you remember what someone says and is like, okay, I'm going to get them that?
No, I'm so bad at this. This is, like, one of my greatest character flaws.
Same. I'm, like, so bad at gifts. I feel like I have close friends, but I couldn't tell you what they like. Does that make sense? If I'm, like, I know what they're kind of into, but I'm, like, I don't know what book to get you. Does this make any sense? I don't know. It's like I know the person, but I don't know what object connects to them.
Yes. I know. And I always end up being like, it's actually just so... I mean, I also just have this fear of like, am I reading them wrong? Or like, am I in some way being racist? Where I'm like, they're Asian and here is an Asian author. Like, is that okay? Is that...
Depends on what author.
Right.
okay, what about something again, because White Elephant means, right, you have to get a gift that like anybody could pick up and use.
But here's the other thing.
I think they also said
that it wasn't exactly a White Elephant, so I'm wondering if it's more of a Secret Santa type.
I think it's only not a White Elephant in the I feel like maybe she, I didn't know this, but maybe it felt like she was implying that like usually with White Elephants, you're trying to give away shit you don't want anyways, and that's why you throw it in this big pile. But in this case, she still has to go and buy something.
Okay. Right. So maybe maybe that's the thing. It has to be a nice White Elephant.
Well, what about, and this is something I think anyone would love, what about a nice scarf? A nice little scarf?
You are terrible at gifts. That's the worst.
But if it's supposed to be for anybody, what is something anybody could have? What about a scarf?
What about a scarf with Christ on the cross stitched into it?
Look.
Yes! Or the
Pope. What about the Pope on the cross? Is mitre also with a nail in it?
Yes.
Gold belly, right? Because they said food is popular. There's that gold belly, and I don't know what it costs. So if you're looking, like, so I don't know if I'm giving you something bad, but there's like a gold belly where you can like order food from all different places.
We're not sponsored by them.
They
folks.
Have a lot of like cakes and pies and things. And there's like one of those things where it's like, you showed me this. It was like a pie inside a cake, inside like some fudge. Do you mean like it was like each layer was like a different thing, like
you
a turducken from baked goods?
You are struggling.
I'm literally saying
they
ideas,
said
and,
humorous,
and he's saying I'm struggling, and I'm saying ideas
or edible. Why not combine the two? Edible underwear. It's very funny. You can someone will open it and be like,
Sabrina,
oh, it's a gag gift.
Do you see how I'm out here trying to give practical gift ideas, and this fool over here talking about some panties or the Pope? Okay.
I know. Are those really the two? Is that your binary? It has to be panties or Pope?
Can't we
have something nice in between?
I stand by a fun cake.
I do. I like where Naomi's head's at. I personally like when I... But, okay, I guess it depends. You know, I think things to consider. Is this family corny? Like... Because I do think funny gifts tend to not be that funny, right? It's on the corny side. So if they're people that love that, then go for it. But otherwise, I always prefer, like, what's the thing that I will actually use? So I think scarf is awesome. I was going to pitch if there were younger, hipstery people, like some... Oh God, I don't believe in myself anymore. Just like a film, you know, like a disposable film camera. Is that You hate it. You hate
no,
it.
No, no, no. Because I was thinking, I'm like, yeah, one of those, the little Polaroid ones, right? That like kind of look hip and cool and fun.
Color. Oh, sure. That one. Yes. Especially if, yeah.
I mean, because, right, it's all about Christmas, right? So you give them that, and then they take a bunch of pictures of Christmas, right? And then it's like, look at our memories. Like, gorgeous.
Yes, and you know what? Sorry I shut you down, Andy. Why don't we stick a, like a why not? And you know what? You take a Polaroid of yourself in panties, and you include that in the gift.
What about, what's the thing that they walk around with in a Catholic church that has, like, incense or something in it?
Oh, I know you're talking about that, like, swings back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what it's called.
But you put cupcakes in there.
Put cupcakes in there.
So they unwrap it and they're like, oh, I could go to Mass and eat cupcakes. Okay.
Look, it's a Friday night. Sabrina got stuff to do. You better stop with the Pope. And I think we've answered this. I stand by gold belly fun like cake or cupcake. I stand by
a Speedy Ortiz album.
A Speedy Ortiz album, a cupcake. Film camera, fun film camera, disposable moments so people could just like go, yay, we're having fun. Let's take pictures of ourselves.
I also think
dumb pajamas or like a dumb pajama pant. You know what I mean? Something with like a funk, like a fun or silly design.
What would the design be?
Like
what
Jesus being
be?
Crucified.
Uh-huh. Thank you, everyone.
No problem.
On theme. All right. Can we do one more?
Oh, yeah, of course.
All right, here we go.
Hi, Andy and Naomi. My name's Claire, she, her pronouns. First of all, I love you both, especially your activism and outspokenness around COVID and continuing to mask up with N95s on the picket lines. Yeah, I just love you both. My question for you both is identifying as people that are sex nude and sex neg. How does that impact your friendships, especially with like your single friends or your poly friends? I also identify as sex nude / sex neg, but I'm in my 20s, and a lot of my friends are in relationships that, you know, foresee them going on a lot of different dates, and sometimes they want to tell me about their dates afterwards. Sometimes it can be pretty graphic, and I don't want to be too outspoken about, hey, I don't actually want to hear about how you got fisted in your lift yesterday, but, you know, I don't want to hear it, but I want them to continue being open with me. So let me know if you have any advice around that. Thanks so much. Love you. Bye.
Do you have to? That seems like you're really getting in there if you're getting fisted in a lift.
That's living. That's someone with a full social calendar.
Doesn't the driver like, hey, what's going on back there?
Now, Sabrina, do you identify as sex negative, sex neutral, sex positive?
I'm like, it's like I'm like sex positive rising, but sex negative moon, you know, like I just like I really I feel a lot of shame for myself. But I love to talk about and hear about what's going on with other people.
Mm. Well, I will say that I'm the same way. Like, I don't. But here's the thing I will say, because this to me is an easy question. It's like, say, I don't want to hear about you getting fisted in a lift. Like, you can, like, that's not you being prude to me to be like, I don't need to know that part. But, like, we can, you know what I mean? Like, it's an age thing, right? Because I think at our age, people aren't talking, I mean, maybe not to me.
But here's the thing, and sorry to interrupt. I know that I had a friendship where he wanted to, like, talk about his sex life and I didn't want to hear it, and that friendship ended. And I'm like, I don't want to know what you do with your look. I'm happy that you're doing whatever you want with your butt or your genitals or what's going on.
Yeah happy you're doing whatever you want.
I'm happy for you.
Yeah,
I got him a greeting card that said, I'm happy for you that you are doing things with your parts. I just don't want to talk about it, and I don't want to talk about it personally. And also, like, I don't know, because then you can, like, it's too much. but that person didn't want to be friends with me. They're like, no, this is part of the thing. And I'm like, all right. Honestly, it's fine. But
that's what I mean. If someone doesn't want to be friends with you because you don't want to hear graphic sex stories, like, to me, I like a story where, like, oh, was something unexpected, something random. Like, you know, almost give me the Sex and the City style highlights, you know, where it's like, Jack Rabbit or like whatever the funny thing was about it.
He wanted me to sit on a cake.
Yeah, like that's funny. That's fun. That's an unexpected situation. But like,
I don't hear about run of the mill stuff.
Yeah, like run of the mill. Yeah. But graphic run of the mill. I'm like, yeah, it's like I know what happens. Yeah. I know what it is.
We know all the run of the. We're middle aged. We know all the run of the mill stuff. Okay. Maybe it's more exciting for you, Sabrina.
More exciting. No, Paco.
No,
is
no.
Here.
I'm so sorry about this cat. She heard that everyone was talking about sex, and she wanted to get in on all.
Well, she's been spayed. She just got spayed.
She's just been spayed. Yeah.
She said, so, "Wait, what?"
She still has some of that left in her. It hasn't fully left her system yet. I I definitely am someone who overshares. And so my only caution is like, if you're, you know, I, of course, set your boundaries. I really believe in that. I think what happens for people who do chronically overshare are, I think it's like in their brain, they're just trying to be honest and open up to you. And, you know, people are so sensitive about sex. I'm basically advising you to use a lot of I statements. And if you want to preserve the friendship, even consider lying. Like, if you don't want to hear about it because it's just gross the way they do it, don't say it. Like, just keep that to yourself. And maybe, am I giving terrible advice? Like, it
no,
just,
no,
if your
yeah.
friendship is important, if your friendship's important, you know, like, it can just be like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, I really love you, but like, I just, you know, like, I think it might be just the way I was raised, but I just feel kind of weird when I hear about certain graphic things. And then I feel like it makes them feel less embarrassed that they overshared with you.
Yes, I think what you're saying, the point of, right, like, you can tell someone this part of the combo is not for me without shaming them. Like, to be sex negative is not for me to think that other people are dirty or wrong. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's not what it is to me. It's not like,
totally,
you're an animal. Like, that's not what it is.
When I brought up edible underwear just 5 minutes ago, Naomi, you shamed me.
Because it's a terrible white elephant present. I shamed that pitch as a present. It was terrible. But I think what you're saying is right, Sabrina. It's sort of like, you know, and yeah, and if you're like, is it shaming to say to someone like, you're giving me so much information. Now I'm imagining you, you know, and like in the middle of sex, you know, something like that where you're like, now I'm imagining you and I can't imagine you, you know, not. I don't know. Is that too weird?
No, it's not. No, you're not being mean. I just love, you know, I always prepare for the other person being completely and totally emotionally stunted. So my recommendation is, if you want to be friends with this person who has no ability to regulate their emotions, this is how you do it. But of course, if you're like, I don't want to picture you having sex, like, there's nothing wrong about that.
Yeah.
But they, you know, if they're crazy, like I was in middle school, you know, they'd be like, why is me having sex so disgusting? And it's like, no one is saying that.
Right.
But
that's
in
what
their
I'm saying.
Brain.
Like, yeah.
Right.
It's like, that's not what I wanted to be interpreted as. But it's more like,
I just didn't want to hear about your Doctor Doom thing cosplay stuff.
Doctor Doom thing? Thing is
the
one
thing.
Character.
The Thing.
Doctor Doom is another character.
For you, Naomi, The Thing was played by Michael Chiklis on the movies.
Yes, I remember. I remember Michael Chiklis' version of The Thing.
Ben Grimm. Sorry, I should have said Doctor Doom Ben Grimm cosplay.
Thank you. That would make it a little clearer. That would make it clearer.
Actually, I would. If any of my friends are doing Doctor Doom Ben Grimm cosplay, I actually do want to hear about that.
Yeah, no, but that goes back to, that's interesting, that's fun, that's unexpected.
Yeah. I just don't want to hear about, like, yeah, how's this? You know what? I think this is actually a good rule of thumb. Enough with the pedestrian stuff, okay? Look, live your life. If that's all you want to do in your own life, that's great. But just don't talk about pedestrian stuff. Like, I just can't imagine a bunch of, like, guys together, like, watching a game and being like, yeah, so I touched your butthole. Like, I just don't, like, it. Like, that seems so boring to me. But if it was, like, yeah, we dressed up like the Fantastic Four, then it would be like, okay, that's interesting.
We are so sex neg and sex nooch. We can't even think of normal, like, examples.
Well, I can't think of normal examples.
No, that's such a classic kink scenario. I see it all the time.
Exactly. I mentioned people sit on cakes. That's a sex thing.
No, yeah, people sit on cakes. I know
I'm sure. You know what? I'm sorry. In the history, In the history of all human sexuality, I am sure somebody cosplayed as members of the Fantastic Four. Probably Mr. Fantastic and the Invisible Woman, I'm saying.
Of course.
But I wanted to make it a little more interesting and have a Dr. Doom Ben Grimm.
I understand. I understand.
If any of my friends, any
okay,
listeners.
Okay, you're yelling.
If any listeners have done this, please write it. You can do it anonymously.
I think the answer is what Sabrina said of like, I statements. You could say like, or you know something where you go, that's my limit. Like that can kind of be the phrase of like, instead of like, stop. It's like, that's my limit. That's all I can take. You know, making it about you, keeping it simple, and then just being like, you know, yeah, just making it so that, it's not about that person feeling like they're somehow gross as much as you're like, this is too much for me. And it's like your own thing.
Yeah, don't be Carrie. That's all we're going to say, though. Don't be Carrie. Carrie's always shaming the rest of the...
Oh, on Sex and the City, yeah. Carrie's shaming the rest of them. Well, I thought it was Charlotte was always like, oh, clutching my pearls, but I don't really remember. I like watched it, but I wasn't in deep, if that makes sense. Anyway, do you like the Fantastic Four, Sabrina?
It's all going in the same place in my brain where coconuts is. It's just all coconuts for the last 5 minutes.
Oh my god, I love that. That's a good shorthand. It's all coconuts for me. Someone's saying something, you're like, it's all coconuts. I don't know. Oh, Sabrina.
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 Oh, Naomi. Oh, Andy.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
for joining
us.
Thanks for having me. This was so fun, and I hope it was good on your end.
Oh, it was great on our end. You're a dream and a delight. Your Netflix set is hysterical, so everybody got to watch that.
Haven't told us how much you got paid for it, but...
$15,000. I was paid $15,000 flat.
$15,000 flat.
Okay, not bad.
All right.
All right. Well,
you know, we want the residuals on Netflix. You know what I'm saying? We want the residuals.
Hey, yeah, maybe after the... Oh, that was done before the strike ended.
No, it's all about those residuals. But look, we love it. I'm glad the world... I mean, look, you've had such a good year. I know that's like a gross Hollywood phrase, but like that sense of like... I just like when funny people, like when the world recognizes them. So that's like what's exciting, you know? So I just like love to see you shine, baby. Love to see you shine.
Oh, well, we're not recording. Are we still recording? I mean, whatever. Just thanks. That means so much. I really have loved your stand up for so long. So it's really like, it means a lot. Yeah.
All right, everyone. I'll see you next time.
Bye.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.